Are you excited today?
Hallelujah.
Since we're going to have a baptismal service, it's appropriate that we should talk about baptism from the Word of God. And if you listen, all of you attentively, some of you that have been going to church for a long time, it'd be good for you to hear again why you have a reason to rejoice. Because of your Christian experience that goes beyond just doing what everybody does, but actually, we have found the key that everybody that gets baptized is really looking for, and it's in the Word of God. Most people don't go back far enough to get their instructions. They get their instructions from grandma, grandpa, or somebody that's been in maybe the church for years that told them what they did when they were a baby. Very few really take the time to research. And we all have the same opportunity, so we can all do this if we will. But we're not here to say that everybody else is doing it wrong and we're doing it right, but we're saying we all have an opportunity to get it right if we find that we've done it wrong. But all those who may not see that, we love everybody and we pick no fight with anybody, and we're not against any kind of religion or any kind of church. God goes to every church and He loves everybody in every congregation of every kind. So that doesn't mean they're all right, but it means God hears the prayers. And a lot of you are here today because you prayed when you were a member of a church that was teaching you some false things. But you prayed while you were there, and if God hadn't heard you there, if He didn't go there to hear your prayer, hey, you'd be in a bigger mess now than you were then. So thank God that He goes to all the churches. Now, the devil, I don't know if he goes to all of them or not, but he sure comes to this one. He's been coming to this church for years. He's a regular around here. But I want to go to, but you know, because of the fact that we've got a hold of something that's beautiful here, Satan's and the spirits that go with that want to distract and want to take away. Because the essential things that will set you free and make you be saved are those things that the evil spirits all over do not want you to find out. It's before you were born, before we were all born, there was this opposing force that was out to make sure that when you get started to making a choice of whether to live for God or not, that you would make a choice that would include a religion that would teach you anything that is good except the essential things that will get you saved. And that's what the problem is, because for one thing, and I'm going to give you some scriptures in just a moment. I'm not going to go a long time. We're going to have a good time here in a minute over here. We've cleared this side out so we can all dance and shout. Because I'm excited about Brother Tom going to be baptized today. Real excited. We all are. What was I about to say? Yeah, the essential thing. I just want to make sure you're listening. And also, I forgot what I was about to say. But these essential things that are left out. The Word of God says that there's one name given. Everybody say one name. But the one name that is given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, that means just what it says. And so we can't get around that one name, whatever it is. There is one name. I forget where the scripture is. Anybody know offhand? Acts 4:12. You can look it up for yourself. It says that there's only one name, if he's telling the truth. One name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. In other words, it's saying in the book, in the good book that we call the Bible, that that is the name whereby we're saved. That's how you get saved. You do it with that one name. Now, I want us to look at Matthew, the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 29. Amen. Satan does not want you to understand that you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus and that you need to believe in one God and not try to separate them, because there is no separation in God. There's no division in God. You can't dissect God. He is just one God. There's one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism. Everybody say one Spirit,
one
Lord,
and one baptism.
And that's the one we're going to use today. And we're going to use that one Spirit today. And we're going to be involved with that one Lord today in what we do. Amen. Matthew 28. I'll start verse 17. This is after Jesus has been crucified. He went to the tomb and he got up again. And he's appeared before some believers again. And verse 17 says, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power," everybody say, "All power.
All power,
all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, the next verse is what he is saying is, because of this, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. People usually call this the Great Commission. And there are other writers that wrote about the Great Commission, what's called the Great Commission. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," because it all power is given to me, "go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen," which means so be it. Now, the reason I wanted to start with Matthew 28:19, Brother Tom, is because first thing you're going to be confronted with by a lot of people is, "You weren't baptized right," they're going to say. Everybody does it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But the truth is, they don't know what they're talking about, because there is a name that is involved here, and Father is not a name. Son is not a name. And Holy Ghost is not a name. You may be seated. Amen. Does anybody have any idea that what that name might be that's involved here?
Jesus.
Okay, because he says, "Go therefore," and this is Jesus speaking, "with all power in heaven and in earth, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in" how many names?
One.
See that N-A-M-E, that's one singular name. "Baptize them in the name," everybody say one name.
One.
And the other scripture we talked about in Acts 12 is, there's only one name under heaven given among men. So even if Father was a name and Son was a name and Holy Spirit was a name, at least two of them would have to be not a name, because only one can be a name. But since none of them are a name, then we've got to find out what is the name. Because I am a Father, but that's not my name. I am a Son, but you can call me by that title, and I know, you know, if my mother calls and says, "Son, come here," I know that's Mama talking, and she can call me son, but don't try to make me be your son, because you ain't my daddy, you're not my mama, and if you want to talk to me, I do have a name. Praise God. But I'm not God. If people have names where they're identified, and we give people instructions to do something in my name, then they don't go out to represent us and say, "Okay, I'm going to do this in the name of the Father and the Son and the husband." Because there's a lot of fathers and sons and a lot of spirits. Not all of them are holy. But there's one Holy Spirit. And today when Brother Tom gets in that water to be baptized in the name of Jesus, there is the Holy Spirit that we're very much going to be standing there in that water with. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Because we want you not only be baptized in water in the name of Jesus, but there's a need for all of us to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. Because without the Spirit of Christ, in another scripture, can you remember that, where that one is? Without the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. And there's a scripture that says that the Holy Spirit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, if we want to have hope, that we need to have Christ in us. If we have Christ in us, it's only through the Spirit of Christ, because we don't have a person who is another person dwelling in us, but we have the Spirit of Christ. And if the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you, the Bible also says, then you are His child. You are His child. Amen. So what we need is this Spirit. That another scripture says, they that are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And remember, by one Spirit and one body, we're baptized into one body. There are not three bodies to get baptized into. There's one body to be baptized into. When you study it just a little bit, you find out that that is the body that hung on the cross, that was resurrected, and now He has a church that is considered to be the family of God, sometimes called the body of Christ. But again, it's that one Spirit that's in all, through all, above all, fills all in all. By that one Spirit, you're all baptized into one body. That one body being the body of the one that has the one name that will save you. We were buried with Him in baptism, the book says. The instruction to the church says we are buried with Him in baptism, arising to walk in newness of life. And so when we get in the water to get baptized, it's more than just a ritual. It's more than just a form of godliness. It's more than a tradition. It's more than doing what every other church does. But we're trying to look at the examples in the Word of God of how to be baptized and listen to the instructions in the Word of God. Then no matter how many people in our family say you did it wrong or it can't be right because nobody else does it that way. And I want to tell you, the crowd that does not do it that way, they look better than we do in many people's eyes. They have larger numbers than we have in people's eyes. They have bigger churches than we have in people's eyes. But you know what? A lot of people had a lot of stuff when Jesus was walking with no home, with a few homeless, helpless disciples too. But He was right. Hallelujah. He was right. There were big monasteries and all kinds of religious institutions back in those days. But Jesus, when He was asked by one of His followers, so where are we going after they left all to follow Him? He said, well, animals have places to live. Birds have places to stay. So many words. Glad you came with me, but I don't know where we're going. He really knew, but he said, it'd be more proper to say, but you ain't going to know where I'm going. Because He just didn't share everything with them. Somebody recently said, you know, if you have a close friend, you should share your heart, everything in your heart. I said, no way, Jose. Then learn that lesson the hard way. You don't just open up your heart to everybody. I mean, they may love you now, but they may not love you next week. You know? But when it comes to Jesus, He loves us. But He's not going to share everything with us because we're not always true to Him. You know? I mean, we may love Him now. We may get emotional and say, I'll stick with you the rest of my life. He's already said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we say, oh, Lord, I love you too. I'll stick with you. I will never leave you. And He says, I'll never leave you comfortless. I receive that, Lord, and I won't cause you to have to comfort me because I'm just going to stick with you. Oh, you can count on me. Before your mother-in-law sasses you out three times, you will deny Him. So we're going to have to depend on Him to get our strength. That's my version of saying before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. All right. Go ye therefore and teach. Why? Because Jesus has all the power. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, one name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end. Now, briefly, let's skim over some more review here. Let's go to the book of Acts. And we are friends with everybody that talks about Jesus, preaches about Jesus, regardless of religious views on these issues, because there are a lot of things they're saying that are right. You can read a book written by a person claiming to be a Christian and find a lot of good stuff because they study and they write these books and they base a lot of things on what they find in the Bible, and they're very edifying. But the thing that's very important is try to get understanding as you go along your way, or you may be deceived, because all a book is somebody's opinion that's trying to have a introduction, have an introduction and a body and a conclusion, and get some references to go by. And their conclusion, a lot of times, after they've had a lot of footnotes, they got those footnotes from other people who studied and came to their own conclusions. And so you got centuries of people having conclusions about what they think. But we need to go back to God and find out what the truth is, because the hand-me-down hearsay doesn't always save us. And you can go back a few hundred years and you can find man training or changing baptism and trying to force everybody to see it another way, other than the way Jesus taught his disciples to teach all of us. But we go to the book of Acts, and we just want to do what we can to insert ourselves in the midst of all these people that we love and be heard, because they're not going to invite us, so we have to find the wisdom to be there anyhow. And we're finding it. Amen. Amen. Sure, go ahead, because somebody out there may want to hear this. Or they may not want to hear it, but they're going to pay attention because they don't know where I'm going. Amen. You can be turning to the book of Acts, the second chapter. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. You're not hot. Bless the Lord. Acts, the second chapter. All right. Can y'all hear me okay? Take a deep breath. Don't get bored. This is good stuff. I want to review just something that is dear and precious to anybody that's going to heaven. Amen. Acts chapter number 2. And before I go to 2, let's do just a little bit in the first chapter of Acts. Turn back a page or whatever. The first chapter of the book of Acts, Peter is talking to a group of people. They're in a room called the upper room. They have been instructed to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise that God gave through Jesus, the promise of the Holy Ghost. And so in the book of Acts, the first chapter, verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you have heard of me. This is what Jesus had said. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost in just a few days, not many days hence. So when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Everybody thinks they can figure this stuff out, you know, based on what's happening, but it's not something you can do. I mean, God has his plan and his key of understanding ready and reserved for people who really want to serve God. And what you don't understand before you serve him, you will come to understand if you use some faith and just splash on in anyhow, because he's looking for somebody that believes in him and can trust him. And if you can get past that point, then he just opens up a little at a time and reveals so beautifully his wonderful truth. But he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons. It's really not anything for you to be discussing. When am I going to restore my kingdom or going to help Israel? Because these guys still, they were living in the past, thinking only the Jews have it right and everybody else is, you know, sorry. And thinking of all the Gentiles as no more than a dog. And so now they got a good friend by the name of Jesus who can do miracles, even raised from the dead. And so naturally they're going to say, you know, they had said to him, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You know, and I don't think that necessarily they had a bad attitude, but it was a lack of understanding. But he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father's put in his own power. But this is what he wants us to know. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Remember how powerless you were before you received it, folks? Did it make a difference in your life when the Holy Ghost came into your life? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. He wants us to be a witness unto Jesus that it's working. Amen. That we're able to see great victory in our life. It's not that it wouldn't work. It's there to work. But to be a witness unto him means we have yielded a few times in our lives. We've let God have his way in our lives. We've decided, like Brother Tom did the other night, to change shirts in the middle of church to come and testify. It was more than changing shirts. There was a change going on in our heart. And like he did something today, and I was really just, it was more a test, Brother Tom, than a standard. I wasn't putting rules on you, but I appreciate it. Because when you do these things, even if it seems silly, you're turning a point, you're kicking the devil in the mouth, and you're starting a forward motion that's going to take you all the way to better life on this earth, a more responsible existence than you may have ever known before. You're going to put so much love in your heart, and others are going to love you more than they've ever loved you, and you're going to see great things happen, and you're going to have the power when the bad things happen to say, get out of my life. I know where I'm going.
Hallelujah.
But it takes that being willing to turn, even if it's just a little bit, and take a step forward, even if it seems a little silly. I mean, I was cutting a boy's hair one time, and it wasn't really all that long, but he had come to revival, and he didn't, a lot of people were receiving this power of the Holy Ghost, but he was praying that God would bless him with the Holy Spirit too, but it seemingly wasn't there for him. He couldn't figure it out. So he got to looking around, all the men in that church, they had hair about like Brother Tom's hair, you know, had fresh haircuts and so forth. Not like mine. I'm not a good example today. I got to get one. But like Brother Rick. And Brother Rick, man, I don't understand all these people wanting to be bald-headed before they're 70. But it's all right. I'll go back. One of these days you'll be trying to go join the men's hair club. But anyhow, the thing about it, I was cutting this guy. The reason I was cutting his hair in the prayer room in our church is because he came to me and he said, Brother Rutledge, I was praying. And he said, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and told me if I'd get a haircut, that I would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that seemed silly to me at the time. I thought, God wouldn't say that to a guy, you know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't say that to a fella, you know. That you could get your haircut, you know, then God will save you, you know. But it was him. He was saying, I feel it in my spirit. I feel like every time that I get down to pray, my hair just gets heavy on my head. And it seems like if I would remove that and try to fit in with everybody here and worship God and not have that sign of rebellion, that's what he said. He said, because the reason I grew my hair long is because I was rebellious. And he said, my hair represents my rebellion. And he said, so and then it started making sense why the Spirit of God would say something to him. Because he had rebelled against authority, rebelled against the cops, and he's always in trouble, and rebelled against his mom, rebelled against his dad, and he couldn't settle down, and he couldn't keep a job. And he said, I just felt like it in my spirit that if I'd cut my hair cut, I would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of folks out there would think that is silly, just like I thought it was silly. But it won't hurt anything. So, yeah, I imagine I looked silly when I took a pair of scissors and a comb, and I had never cut a man's hair in my life. And you could tell it when I got through with him. But he sat down in a chair, and he said, cut it. So I was trying to make it nice and trim, you know, and got it shorter. He looked in the mirror. He said, it's still too long. I didn't want to mess him up. I cut it some more. And he looked at it. He said, still too long. He said, I want it short. Then I gapped him up really good. I tried, but I don't know how to cut hair. But just when he looked at the mirror the third time, tears started coming down his face. He raised both of his hands and started speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Not everybody has the same experience, but one thing you can read in the book of Acts, when they receive this Holy Spirit, it comes accompanied with releasing yourself completely to God, and God takes control of everything. And according to the Word of God, the most unruly part of us is our tongue. We use it for cursing, for lying, for slander, for a lot of ungodly things, and God wants control of that, just like He wants control of you being able, He wants your hands to be able to surrender to Him. He wants your feet to be able to surrender to Him. He wants you to be able to get in water baptism in His name. That's a surrender to God. But at the same time, He wants to have all of you, including the most unruly part of your existence, your tongue. Once He's got that, see, it teaches in the Word of God that that tongue, although it's such a small member of us, it's the most unruly. And it's like that little rudder of a ship, you know, big ship. But that small thing makes a difference of whether the ship is able to take the proper direction or not. So, anyway, nice little lessons here. So we're in the book of Acts, and now we'll skip on over to Acts number 2 briefly. These people had been listening to Peter explain all this and what was going on in the upper room. And he was talking to the people in the upper room, and some things were taking place, and they had to do a little business to make sure that they got their spirits all right. And so we get to Acts chapter 2, and we get on down into a ways to after he's been talking to the people a while, because they came, the Holy Ghost came, and they didn't know what was going on. And I'll start at the end of his message that he was preaching, amen, or toward it. For one thing, back at the early part, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every heaven. They were having a holiday. And so the Bible says that they were all these people in that upper room were filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me just back up a ways. And when the day of Pentecost, let's just go straight to chapter 2, first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Now you hear all kinds of suggestions about what this means, but when you get into the Spirit of the Lord and you read the Word of God and you let God deal with your heart, then you understand that it wasn't forked tongues of fire over your head. It wasn't wind blowing the dust around you. That wasn't the experience. What they experienced in that upper room is the same thing that we've experienced in this place many times. And what we want is the original experience that came with the original church. Hallelujah. What this is talking about is you get in one place together with other people, if you're with other people, and you're in one accord. In other words, there's no disputing, no fighting, nobody trying to be better than somebody else, everybody being humble, everybody being nice. And they were in one accord, all in one place, and there was no division among them. They may not have agreed on everything, but that was not a discussion. It was not an issue. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a sound of wind. It was like a mighty rushing wind. It was a sound that came from heaven. You know what that sound is that comes from heaven? I'll read about that sound just in a second here, but in a few seconds, but it's that sound that you hear when the people of God are praising God. Amen. There's a lot of noise. And it's like a rushing mighty wind. If you ever get in a big crowd where they're just letting it go and praise, and people are just shouting hallelujah, and some are speaking in tongues, some are saying, praise God, I just love you. Oh, God, I'm so happy today. And you listen to about 300 or 400 people like that, raising their hands, clapping their hands. And as you approach it, it's like a tornado. You wonder, what is that sound? It's a roar. It's like a rushing mighty wind. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, just like we've seen it happen here a few times. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. And when you study into it just a little bit, get just a little bit of revelation, it doesn't mean that they saw tongues. The word appear is there, but that's King James translation from another language, and they use some words that would cause some of us to jump to a wrong conclusion. But if you look at the consistency of all the Word of God and see the harmony in the Word of God, and you go back and you read the original and you get the Spirit involved, you realize there appeared unto them cloven tongues simply meant it arrived, just like God said it would. It came in there just like Jesus said it would. It appeared just like you appear when you arrive at some place. Hallelujah. It appeared as, you know, and the wind was as, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of. Everybody say like as of. But it wasn't fire. It was like as fire. It wasn't wind, but it was like wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There appeared to them cloven, which means divided, different tongues. Tongues that are different. Different. They were talking in different languages as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, uttering sounds. They were talking. It's called speaking in tongues. And when you see people in the Bible receive the Holy Ghost, oftentimes you see the words right after they receive the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues or spoke in tongues. Amen. I want to hurry through this. See, I got the floor early so we can get through early and get praise God early. Amen. Amen. So, and so Peter in his message was preaching to a group of people that had been involved in the killing and the murder of Jesus. And they didn't understand what was going on in that loud, noisy room where those people had been assembled for a while, several days, in fact, that they'd been waiting on this promise to come. And praise God. So we get down to verse number 29. And Peter says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you." And so he tells them a lesson. He talks to them about David and David's God being the same God, but he says in a way that they're just paying attention because they murdered Jesus, and these people are happy inside, and they're still feeling guilty on the inside of their lives. So when they heard his preaching about Jesus that being raised up, and he said, "And we are witnesses," that's in verse number 32, "this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses." We are witnesses. And when he got down to verse number 37 or 36, he said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord," capital L-O-R-D, that's God the Father, by the way, L-O-R-D with a capital letter, is Father God, and Christ. Forget the traditional teaching and consider the truth. He has made Jehovah both Jehovah and Christ. He has made the Creator both the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. And given the Son all the power of the Father. So much power that the Son said, "When you've seen me, you have seen the Father." He said, "I and my Father are one." This is in the Bible. Jesus taught "I and my Father." He didn't teach him as two persons. He said, "I and my Father are one." And where is that scripture? It says, "Except you believe this, you'll die in your sins." That's why we're concerned about our friends, because not many people in religion believe this stuff. Because if Satan can get you to not believe in the teaching of God, when all through history and before Jesus, the instructions were given over and over. When you wake up in the morning, when you talk to your kids, tell them there's one God. John 8:24, what does it say? Yeah, John 8:24, after he explains all about "I and my Father one," when you see me and you've seen the Father, and then he gets on down a ways, and the subject is all about, because they had asked the question, "Lord, show us the Father." And so he explained to them that he and his Father is one and the same. And this sounds really ridiculous, but so is speaking in tongues to a lot of people, and so is getting in water to get baptized. But God is able to take a word and make a child out of it. Because in the beginning with God was the Word, and the Word was God. That's what the book says, John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John, the first chapter, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So Jesus is teaching what is truth, that's always been the truth, that Jesus is the mighty God, that Jesus is the everlasting Father. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, in prophecy, Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." This is talking about Jesus, the Son of God. "Unto us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful." Everybody say Wonderful. "His name shall be called Counselor." Everybody say Counselor. Everybody say the Mighty God. And Isaiah, long before Jesus was born, talking about Jesus that would come someday, and Jesus came after Isaiah had been dead for a long time. "Unto us is born, unto us is a son is given, unto us is born a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God." And then he said, "And his name shall be called Everlasting Father." Everlasting Father. Who? A child that would be born. A son that would be given on an old rugged cross. That's who's going to be called. His name will be called Everlasting Father. And that's why Jesus spoke in fulfillment of prophecy in their ears, even though they couldn't quite understand when they said, "Show us the Father." He said, "I and my Father are one." "Oh, Lord, show us the Father." "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." "Oh, we'll believe you if you'll just show us the Father." "Have I been so long with you and you haven't seen me?" That's in the Word of God. This conversation is in the Word of God. "I've been here with you all this time and you haven't seen me." After he said, "Show us the Father," "You haven't seen me? Show us the Father." "I and my Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." See, God, remember I read Matthew 28? "All power is given unto me." That's what Jesus was saying. "All power is given unto me in heaven." All right, that means there's no power left for a third person anywhere. Amen. If there are three persons in the Godhead, two of them don't have any power. Because all means all, unless you spell it A-O-L. All in heaven. Jesus said all power in heaven. So the first person of the Godhead is the same one as the last person of the Godhead. And the same Spirit that created all things is the same Spirit we call the Holy Ghost. And a Spirit is not a person. But this manifestation of that Spirit has been in a burning bush, and it has been in a jawbone that killed a lot of enemies. It's been in a cloud of fire, a pillar of fire. It's been a cloud. It's been manna on the ground where people were wandering in a wilderness. This manifestation of Christ has been a rock following the Israelites in a dry, thirsty place in a desert needing water to drink, and there was a rock that followed them. And in the Old Testament, and we read about that, and in the New Testament it says, and that rock that followed them in the wilderness was Christ. The one that was going to come after them was following them before they could get there. Hallelujah! Boy, that'll preach! Just like John said when he's baptizing these people in Jordan, he said, I got to decrease, but he will increase. The one that will come after me is preferred before me. It don't make a whole lot of sense if you're a human being, but when you get past this just a little bit, and the Spirit, oh my, what a wonderful thing it is to finally come to the realization that the one you're calling Jesus is your Heavenly Father. Amen. And the one you're calling Jesus is the Son of your Heavenly Father. And the one you're calling Jesus is the Spirit that we know of as the Holy Ghost. It's that same Spirit that's not two spirits, because by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. Not two persons, not three persons. One body, which represents the person of God Almighty, which is beyond any person that we understand as a person. We talk about person. You are a character. You are quite a person. But God is not a man. The Bible says that. God is not a man. God is not a man. The only way he could be called God and be a man would be for him to create a person that would be a man and give him all the power of God. Because you will never see God. Nobody has ever seen God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Nobody has seen God the Father at any time. He can't be seen. He's higher than the highest star. He's wider than the widest width. He's deeper than the deepest depth. He's all over you right now. He's above you, under you, around you. God is everywhere. You cannot see God, but God sees every fiber of your being. No matter where you are in the world, because God is with you right now. So the first and the last is the same as the last and the first. Hallelujah. And then Jesus came along saying, I am the first and the last. Beside me, there's no one. And Almighty God had said that in the Old Testament. He said, There's not a God beside me. So the only way that it could happen that Jesus could be God would be for God to still be spirit and the spirit be in Christ and Christ be in the spirit. And that's exactly how he explained it. Amen. I and you, you and me. Thank God. Oh, I got to get through this. But it's good to get this understanding, because you get this if you just get part of this. Just part of it. Later on, just like when I was taking music lessons, the teacher taught me and beat my knuckles for 4 years, and I didn't get a thing out of it. I could play better than her by ear, but she didn't like my playing. And she studied in Europe. She was really good. And I studied with her 4 years, and I hated the woman. I was a kid. And she'd beat me, and she'd hit me with a ruler on the hands because I hit bad notes. I couldn't learn to read the music. But later, when I found a teacher I liked, he said the same stuff she said. And it started making sense. Because after you've been beat to death for 4 years by a stupid woman with a ruler in her hand just because you hit a couple of sour notes, you keep hearing over and over and over and over, those are flats. That's a sharp. Don't you understand anything? Spaces and lines. I didn't know what a space and a line was. She had me so nervous and upset. She said, lines and spaces. I should be able to understand lines and spaces when I'm in the eighth grade. But she said, can't you see the space? I said, no, ma'am, I can't see the space. What's wrong with you? Do you see the lines? Yeah, I see the lines. Well, what? Can't you see the space? No, I can't. I put my hands up. It hurt. I went home with bruises on top of my hand. But when Mr. Hope started teaching me years later, hey, his name was Hope. Hey, remember that radio station? We were on our first station. It was in Hope Valley. Oh, so many things seem to be connected. But Mr. Hope, and her name was Miss Eden, but she was one of them that got kicked out, I think. Eden, E-D-E-N was her name. So anyway, she was mean. Later on, when I was teaching music and giving a recital, she came to my recital because it had been advertised in the newspaper, and she stood up and she said, I'm the one that taught Rendell. I wanted to throw something at her. But it was Mr. Hope that helped me, Mr. Hope. And that same thing applies here. Amen. You get some of what I'm saying there. You may not get it all. You may hear me saying a lot of words, skipping around a lot, because a lot of us been living this. A lot of us been living this a long time. Some of us been going to church here a long time, but you had never really seen what I'm talking about. But if you get with somebody, maybe when you're not here, and hear it maybe with a different voice, or just get alone and just read your Bible, you don't need a tract explaining what we believe. You don't need any literature trying to explain what we teach. All you need is your Bible, because we teach what is in this book. And you can take the book home with you. I don't care if you're in Africa. And that's what's written, that Jesus is in the Father, the Father's in Jesus, and there's no power in any other name other than Jesus' name. And why do we need that? Because that is the only name given that'll save you. Why do we need to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord? Because that's the only belief that God will allow you to believe about God if you plan to please God. He said, I will have no other God beside me. Those are the two things that Satan's kingdom wants to hide from every creature on the face of the earth. And they hide it by getting people to build big buildings and call them church. Put big steeples on them. All over the world you can find church buildings with people doing all kinds of ritualistic things, trying to serve God. And they say all the right words. They read the Bible and they got so many good teachings and good principles. And you can find so many things to be blessed by what they say and what they write. But they call you a devil if they find out that you believe in Jesus' name baptism. Amen. Yet they pray in Jesus' name, lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, pray over their food in Jesus' name. And when they get sick, they call somebody that believes in Jesus' name to pray. Oh, and when they're about to have an accident, they call on the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here comes that locomotive when you're trying to cross a railroad track and your car stalls right in the middle of the track. And here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. And you say, oh, Jesus! And the car takes off. Close call. I never have heard of anybody at a time like that saying, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I don't care what you believe about God, when it comes to that moment, everybody, every tongue confesses. You don't have time for debate, no time for arguing, no time to criticize the Pentecostals. Jesus! That's what we're going to do in that water today, Brother Tom. We're going to say, Jesus! Because you're escaping hell. You ain't got time to fool around with a bunch of titles. We need to do this thing in the name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Okay, let me get through here. Hallelujah. They said, men and brethren, what should we do? And then, because they were pricked in their hearts because they had crucified Jesus. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles. Let me tell you something right here. The rest of the apostles included Matthew. I was reading Matthew 28:19. That was written, just like this book was written, several years after these events took place by these men who were there. They gave us an account of what happened. But Matthew was there backing Peter. Said they were in one mind and one accord. So whatever Peter spoke right here in answer to this question was exactly what Matthew believed. Hallelujah. They did not disagree about how to get baptized and what to teach about baptism. According to Matthew's writing in the book of Matthew, they were instructed to go into all the world baptizing people, teaching people to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, this book of Acts, Matthew is standing there listening to Peter give this answer that I want to give you right now, how to be baptized and how to get saved. Because they were saying, after they had crucified Jesus, what shall we do? They were pricked in their heart. That means they knew they were guilty and in trouble. In so many words, they said, what hope is there for us? They were in Hope Valley. Hallelujah. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, this is the answer for them, it's the answer for us. Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? That means for the removal of your sins out of your life. Be baptized in the one name, the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, to get sin out of your life. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God wants to dwell in a cleansed temple. You can cry out all you want to. We can cry out, Jesus, help me, Lord, help me. But without obedience, without surrender to God and doing it God's way, We will get help, but it'll be like just till we get in trouble and call on Him again over and over. But we get this cleansing. We get this salvation power, the power of the Holy Ghost in us. We'll still have problems, still have all kinds of bumps in the road, but we have the one who said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save. Everybody say save. Save. And what is that? How do you, what is this? S-A-V-E. That's save, right? And everybody says the plan of salvation is John 3:16. Well, it is part of it. I mean, it is the explanation of what's happening. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Everybody say, shouldn't perish. Why shouldn't you perish? Because you believe in him, you ought to do what it takes to get saved. If you're hanging off a cliff and suddenly you fall, but somebody has just thrown a rope over the side, and you see that rope beside you and it's tied to a big tree up on top of that mountain, and somebody yells out, save yourself, grab hold of that rope. What are you going to do? Say, I don't believe in ropes. No matter what you believe in, no matter if you believe that can save you or not, sometimes the only thing between life and death is a rope. A thread, a piece of wood floating in the stream, a machine operating right 20,000 feet in the air. Hallelujah. One tail staying on the plane. Save yourself by getting maintenance done to that airliner before you take off. Oh, we don't believe in that. You better start believing, folks. He that flies in a good airplane and everything's working right shall be saved. If you believe that, you shall be saved. And you can stand all day long while you're waiting to get on the plane. If they give you a plane that hadn't been worked on, and you can believe in that plane, I believe, I believe. That's like people said, I'm saved because I believe John 3:16. I believe Jesus. I believe in Jesus. You can believe in Jesus, but are you willing to be saved according to his plan? Then the question comes, well, how do you do that? The answer is right here. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. This is a promise. It's to you. It's to your children, to all that are afar off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. That means anybody that wants to come to God. And you can't come to God unless there's a drawing. But he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. That's the word of God. That's a promise of Jesus. That means if you're a human being and you feel something that's causing you to want to get better, it's the drawing of Jesus, because he was lifted up on a cross and he shed his blood for all of us. Then he told us how to get in on it. And when we start wanting it, even though we might have thought we were all right, things start happening. Realize there's more. It just starts with believing, and that's important. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's part of being able to serve God. You can't come to him unless you believe it. But when you believe it, he draws you unto himself, and then he starts revealing to you, I want to give you power. I want to give you the ability to be my child. And there's so much in the Word of God I'd like to say. You know, God talks about how to become his child is to believe on his name. That's in the Word of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. But let me hurry through. We got to get through. And it's just, we're still 30 minutes early than we usually are. And I know I'm talking a long time, but I'm almost through. I promise. I got my baby diaper and everything here. Amen. Whatever it is. Maybe that's one of those sham things. Anyway, it works good. Woo, boy. Shamrock. Gave you a little time to breathe a second so they hear me yell. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, he was doing what I'm doing right now, saying, get saved. Save yourself. And they that gladly received the word were baptized that same day. And I promise you, when they were being told to be baptized in Jesus' name, they didn't go under the water. Hear somebody say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They never had heard anybody get baptized before like that. They'd only heard John out there baptizing people, saying, we're getting you ready for something greater that's coming. And I can only baptize you because you're trying to change and trying to do better. But this is not your salvation. When that's better than what I can provide arrives, you listen to him. And he came. This is his instruction. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Briefly, one of the scriptures that just pops out here is in Acts chapter 10. Peter, this same man named Peter, was speaking to a group of Gentiles. And the Jews, you know, they were a little bit leery about this, so they came with Peter to make sure that everything's going to be all right. They came, and he was speaking to these Gentiles that believed in God and gave big alms and helped the poor and fed people and did all kinds of things. But the Lord spoke to this man named Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter and told him to send for Peter. He'll tell him what he ought to do. So here is a believer needing to do something more. So Peter came and they said, please tell us what it is we need to know. So while Peter was speaking to them, verse number 44, Acts number 10, verse number 44, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, in other words, the Jews which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And here's how they knew. It said, they were astonished because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Anybody know what that name is?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. And then let's just quickly run over here to Acts 19. There's several more between there, but we're going to get through now. Acts 19. And this is not a debate. This is just declaration, you know. Declaration of what is so beautiful to know we're getting it right. Hallelujah. This is what the apostles believed. It's what Jesus taught. Acts number 19. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Now these disciples, as you read into it, you realize they were disciples that believed the teaching of John the Baptist, which, like I said, was baptizing, saying there's something better coming soon. The one that baptized Jesus as an example of righteousness, showing that the way to get baptized is to get into the water and go down under the water. That's how Jesus was baptized. A lot of art and a lot of tradition tries to teach over a period of a lot of years traditional things and try to get you to believe in people's tradition that maybe he stood in the water and people sprinkled some water over his head. No, he was immersed in the water. And that's not to fight anybody. Just everybody's always trying to get an easier way. But it's actually pretty easy to get in that tank of water and go under and get up. And that wash away your sins if you do it in Jesus' name. Applies all the blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross. And your life gives you the Holy Spirit that created everything. That you're able to call him Jesus and you're actually talking to God. Woo! How much easier can that be if that's all you got to do? Let's praise the Lord a second, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he said to these disciples of John the Baptist, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And these people were believers, but they needed the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, or they said unto him, they said to Paul, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. One thing I want you all to bear in mind, when Tom gets in that water today, he's going to be baptized in the name of Jesus, which almost, you might just say, just a small fraction of people that call themselves Christians do it this way. Almost everybody else does not do it this way. Hallelujah. So you might want to double check, make sure you want to do it this way, because you're going to be in the minority of what people consider. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Catholicism, Roman Catholic Church, has denounced all Jesus' name baptized people as being heretics. So there's probably going to be some family problems come your way. They have the World Council of Churches, which includes a lot of Protestants and the Catholics and a lot of people of all kinds of religion. Get them all together, but they will not allow you in that if you are baptized in the name of Jesus. If you do it any other way, it's okay. You can get baptized in the name of your shoe, but don't do it in Jesus' name. But they'll let you in In fact, you don't have to get baptized at all and believe that. You can believe. You don't have to be baptized, and they will let you in the World Council of Churches. But don't you do this in Jesus' name. There has to be a reason. I'm not saying that they're all wrong, but I want to tell you, if I'm reading this right, everybody, including the Pope and all the cardinals and all the bishops, need to get this truth in them, and they need to baptize every Catholic in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why, how many of you were Catholic before you learned this truth and got baptized? Look at these hands, see? So, I mean, it's possible to do this. How many of those same people that raised your hand had problems with family members afterwards? See, by the time we're witnesses, you're going to have some problems, brother. But that's nothing new, is it? I mean, haven't we all had some problems with family members? How many of you ever talked to other people who call themselves Christians and they tried to argue with you about this? How many of you know you'd have more friends calling themselves Christians today that you could associate with if you would have not done this? So that's why we got a small church, brother, because it's not popular to be Jesus' name. It's not popular. It's the right way. It's where the power is. It wasn't popular to be a man walking by the seashore trying to get fish money out of a fish mouth so they could pay taxes, but he was God. Hallelujah. Let me finish up here. I'll take it. I'll walk with him anytime along the seashore and try to catch a fish with money in his mouth. Glory to God. Anyway, when they heard this, they were baptized in what? In the name. Verse 5, Acts chapter 19. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke in tongues. The arguing crowd out there will say, you don't have to speak in tongues, and you shouldn't speak in tongues unless there's an interpreter. Because what Paul wrote to the church, trying to keep them to behave themselves, I mean, there is a way that you can yield yourself in a proper setting and edify yourself in God and let God speak through you. And it's wonderful to be able to worship God, speak in tongues. But there comes a time when we need to go to church. We need to sit there and hear what's being said. And when visitors are there, they're not going to understand everybody speaking in tongues. They want to know what it's all about. So somebody needs to speak in a tongue they understand and say, you need to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name instead of speaking in tongues. But he said, but I want to tell you something, in the same writing where he said, when you go to church, you know, you need an interpreter, you know, not, you know, have two or three, maybe at the most, that want to speak in tongues and yield to that, but you need an interpreter. But out here on this creek bank, they were just all people that talked the same language, but they got the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues. And if they'd had an interpreter, what would they needed it for? All they needed was the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. This is also unpopular, to believe in speaking in tongues. Most people believe you're saved, and there's nothing you can do, because Jesus did it all at Calvary. He did it all at Calvary, but he didn't do it all to keep us all sinning. He didn't do it all at Calvary to keep us all believing false teaching about God. He didn't do it all at Calvary for us to deny the name above all names. It's the only name that can save us. That's not why Jesus died on the cross. He did it all on the cross, and by his grace you're saved through faith in his name, which includes obedience. Faith without works is dead. Obedience to God is not a work of man. It's a command of God. Amen. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so they got baptized in Jesus' name. And they got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. I love to say that loud and clear and look people in the eye. Spoke in tongues. Got the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't experienced that, we're not here to condemn you. We're just saying it's available. Just because you walk in the store and they don't have something, you know, you ask for something, they don't have it, I'm not going to say close the store down and burn it down and beat everybody up. I'll go looking for somebody that's got the right stuff that I want. Hallelujah. So I go in church, and they don't believe in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to kill them all and be their enemy. I'm just going to be looking for somebody that wants to shout with me about this wonderful name that Jesus allows us to take on and be his child. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Let's all praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Baptism in the name of Jesus is not a cure-all. It won't take away your habits. You have to give up your habits. It won't take away your foul mouth. You have to give up your foul mouth. You can go in the water, get baptized in Jesus' name, and end up in hell. You have to change your attitude, change your ways, and you do that, and you ask God for the strength to do it, and He gives it to you. That's what the power is He's talking about. You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power in the Holy Ghost makes you desire right things, do right things, separate from wrong things, consecrate your life to God, and let God mold you, and you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. The way you were is not there anymore. It is dead. It is dead. You're not like that anymore. And Tom, if I'm going to baptize you today and you're going to stay the same, I'd like to drain that water now. You don't need to get baptized. But if you're ready to change, I'm ready to witness it. Praise God. And that'll make you want to get in the water too, right? As soon as you can, you need to get in it too, because you don't have that yet. If I were you, I'd jump in today, man. I ain't telling you to do it, but what if God comes today and you're not baptized in His name, which is the only name that'll save you, and you want to be saved? I would jump in there. I'd jump in it now if I was you. Wouldn't. I said that to Arthur one night, and he did. Praise God. If anybody's here that's not baptized in Jesus' name, you ought to already be in the water. Let's all gather around. Glory. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, to be baptized, take me to the water. Thank you, Lord. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. To be baptized. Thomas, would you bring me that handkerchief I had on the pulpit there? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Two, come on over, Tom. Although this is warm, it's going to feel cold to you. But it, yeah, right. But what I want you to do is get in there and put your feet like almost to that end. And I'm just going to
step in there.
Yeah, just step in there.
Is it cold?
Pretty cold, but not as bad as it was. You all right?
God, it's cold.
Just be glad I had the heater on. Gradually get used to it and walk down there.
You lay down?
Yeah, just sit down in it. Yeah,
down.
Just sit down.
It's freezing now.
Yeah, you'll get used to it though in a second. It'll feel like
freezing.
Too late to turn back now. Oh, that's warm, brother.
I'm freezing.
I know, I'm sorry. We tried
I'm freezing now.
That's all right.
We tried to get the heater on the time, we filled it up twice. We put water in it twice. And drain it because it's freezing.
It was cold, man.
Now you'll start getting warmer.
Stand up.
Put your feet right on this end over here and
woo.
Set up straight. Please. Amen. I'm going to do it the way I was just preaching about. And when I baptize you for the time, put one hand up here and the other one there like that, then I can have take you down properly. All right. Woo. You have time to get. We're going to sing that chorus one more time while you get used to it. Then we'll. It ain't as cold as it was when I got baptized, man. Yeah. Take me to the water.
Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized in the name of In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, to be baptized.
Amen. What's your last name, Brother Tom?
DeMauro.
DeMauro. DeMauro. If I forget it in a minute, I might ask you again. DeMauro the Third. Tom DeMauro the Third. All right. Let's have prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Upon the commandment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, follow the examples of the apostles and the way they did it in the original church, going back before all tradition to the way God taught it through Jesus to the disciples, and they handed it down to us. I'm going to now baptize you, Brother Tom DeMauro III, in the only name that will save you, in the name of Jesus, for the removal of your sins. And after this point, if you mess up, make sure that you call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved if you're sincere. And this baptism will always kick in, and you can count on it to always be a lasting baptism, because the name of Jesus is the way to go.
Amen.
I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Amen. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Today is mine.
Well,
I told Satan, get thee behind.
Victory today
is mine.
Peace is mine.
Peace is mine.
Peace is mine. Peace today is mine. Well, I told Satan,
get thee behind.
Peace today is mine. Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost is mine.
The Holy Ghost is mine.
The Holy Ghost today
is mine. Well, I
told Satan, get thee behind.
The Holy Ghost today is mine. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God. Glory to Jesus, Brother Tom. Praise you, Lord, for this act of obedience to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.